This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon and welcome to Food for Thought with Carol. And joining me today is Jeannie Lester. We are on 107.7 WTPL in the Concord, Manchester and Lakes region, as well as streaming all around the world on WTPLFM.com, which is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And anytime during the show, you can give us a call at 866-823-1077. We would love to hear of a new place that may be opening up, or a new place that you've eaten at, or a recipe you'd like to share, or if you just want to chat with us. Again, the number is 866-823-1077. We'd also like to welcome our live audience here to the Beacon Building in downtown Manchester. We're right at 814 Elm Street. You can come on down and have some lunch at Midtown Cafe and watch the show. We'd also love for you to like us on Facebook. You can go to Food for Thought with Carol. And coming up very soon on the Facebook page and our new and improved website, which will also be coming soon, you'll be able to win some prizes. So tune into that, like us, and you'll be all in queue, and you'll be ready for it. So good afternoon, Jeannie.
Well, good afternoon, Carol. Always nice to see you.
Same here.
And we want to thank our sponsors for making this Food for Thought show possible. Express Jewelry Center at 44 North Main Street in Concord, featuring elegant and affordable jewelry, as well as Precision Repair. Integrity Health Coaching Solutions at integrityfit.com, your coaching solutions company. Red Arrow Diner in Manchester, Milford, and Londonderry, voted one of the top 10 diners in the country by USA Today. And I'm going to add my own personal commentary to that in a moment. We want to thank Belmont Hall, 718 Grove Street in Manchester, for top quality foods made fresh. New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought, and Celeste Oliva at 75 South Main Street in Concord, your source for the freshest premium extra virgin olive oils and balsamic vinegars. So I got to tell you, Carol, and I think this is something you should know.
Oh, I'm nervous.
Yes. This is not the first time that I've been to Red Arrow Diner. I've been to Red Arrow Diner many times. And today, we needed to do some things downtown to see some folks, and I had to also take advantage of time with my daughter Rachel, who's home. She's only home for a week, so she's much in demand, so I kind of try to work this in as we can. We decided to grab breakfast together. I said, I know just the spot. Well, you know how mornings go, and one delay after another happens, and then one of the kids forgot their lunch at school. You got to go and do all these other errands. So before long, I'm coming up on a time crunch because, of course, I enjoy this time we have on the air, and it's important that I be here to do that.
So yeah. Gee.
So we're pulling into Manchester, and she's still all excited to go to the Red Arrow Diner. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I only have 45 minutes. This is just not going to happen. I thought, okay, in good faith, we'll do this. And if we have to, we'll grab our stuff and just, I'll let her pay for it and walk. So after I ditch her. We sat down, and right away we had a very friendly waitstaff person come and help us, and she just, it was conversational, but gave us the time we needed. Rachel made a couple of choices. She chose the
Eggs Benedict.
Yes, that is what it is. And she said, they don't have good hash in Iowa. Like, I guess the whole state, there's no hash. So she needed to get the hash. So we did that, and she got grits, and she had this whole array in front of her. She started trying some of this food, and first of all, the Eggs Benedict came out looking like something that you would expect from a very high-end, very fine restaurant. This is not what I expected for diner food. Your expectations generally are going into a diner, you're going to have eggs, and they're going to be fried, and they're going to be basic. Eggs. You can't mess them up, and you're going to have toast, and you're going to have whatever. It's going to be thrown on a plate. You'll eat it, and it tastes good. This dish came out looking beautiful with this artful drizzle on top of it. I don't know. It was gorgeous. So, yes, we'll have to put the picture on Facebook, right? I actually took a picture of her breakfast because it was so good.
So post it over to Food for Thought with Carol, and then people can check it out.
I will do that for sure. And then the bonus, of course, was that unbelievably, this fresh food came out so quickly that I started to relax right away. And I thought, okay, I am not going to be placing a panicked call to Carol. In fact, when I texted you a picture of our breakfast, I thought, okay, well, now she's going to know where I am if I'm late. So, but it all worked out. So
we went
to the Red Arrow Diner. It was great. We got right in. We were able to sit down, got our food quickly, and it was amazing food. So
thank
she said
you.
It was the best. This is Rachel's words, the best diner food she's ever had.
Wow.
So
that's a great compliment.
Yes, and that was it. Very unbiased.
That's perfect. Well, yeah. Thank you.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Thank you to Rachel.
So we had a good time.
Yeah. Gosh.
So I encouraged her. I said, you should free your schedule up on Friday, which she can't do, because we are going to be sampling another diner. We're going to be down there for the ribbon cutting. And we encourage folks to come on out and see us there, because there'll be a lot going on. And, of course, the Red Arrow Diner's great food, as
always.
Yes,
we're going to have the Londonderry Chamber as well as Manchester Chamber. And the mayor of Manchester's not quite confirmed yet, but hopefully he'll be there. And it should be fun. And that the ribbon cutting is at the new location in Londonderry, right off Exit 5, and it's at noontime. So we'd love for you to come and join us. So, yes. Okay. Today's food holiday.
Yes.
It is kind of weird. Okay. National. I wouldn't even think to put this even together. I don't know where they come up with these things, but it is National Oatmeal Nut Waffle Day.
Who's ever had an oatmeal nut waffle?
I have no idea.
Maybe 8 people.
Maybe we can ask Chef Patrick Hall in the next segment.
Yes, I can't think that that's too common a thing, but yes, that sounds like a good idea.
Right? Isn't that kind of strange?
Yes.
And it's also Registered Dietitian Nutritionist Day.
Oh,
Registered Dietitian Nutritionist Day.
Okay.
And I copied Tracy yesterday, and I was at Fresh Market last night, and I got some almond butter.
Nice.
And I just had like a few bites of my almond butter with blueberries in it. And,
Beautiful. You
know, it's very different.
It's
pretty good,
okay.
though. Yep. It's a nice snack. You know, you get your protein in there. So, to me, peanut butter fills me up.
Yes,
you know what I mean? You can't eat too much
peanut
of it.
Right.
You know, and it's perfect. So I feel, it's good. That's cool.
That is very good. Did you blend your own, grind your own?
I did, which is
nice.
So cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so easy. Well, I almost went all over the place.
Yeah.
Because there's a start button.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept my finger on it, thinking when you let go, it's going to stop.
Right.
But it didn't. You had
that
to press the red button to stop, which it kind of took me a little second or two to figure it out, and I almost overflowed.
Were you having a Lucille Ball moment?
I was.
Okay.
I was getting nervous. I'm like, oh my gosh, here I'm in Fresh Market. I'm going to make a big mess with the almond butter. Oh no. But everything was all cool.
That's good.
So, and I did pull off some things about... oatmeal, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you eat oatmeal?
I do. I enjoy oatmeal and actually like the steel cut oats best.
You know, I like those too. They're nice and big and, I do like those.
Hearty.
But you know what it is though? I like them with like the, it's got to have some milk in there. Although I guess I could use my fat-free cream. A little bit.
Yeah.
I guess I'm going to have to talk to Rocco about this next week. I know I mentioned honey.
Yep.
I'm thinking honey would be better than brown sugar, don't you think?
It seems like it would be.
It would seem
that way.
I'm going to have to clarify that. So,
one of my favorite ways, though, to prepare steel cut oats is you boil up the oats and you do the whole thing, but the good old fashioned long way, and then add some peanut butter or almond butter, I guess you could do if you want. Blend that in, because then you've got some protein, and then some cinnamon. And it makes it amazing. And sometimes we'll put like dried cranberries in it. And I think most dietitians say stay away from dried fruits, actually, because they're just loaded with sugar. You're not getting much fiber. You're really not getting anything.
Yeah. I think so.
But sometimes we do that because that little bit of tang in every little bite is kind of nice.
See, and you know what I just thought of when you were just saying that? I could put in a packet of Sweet and Low.
Because
I need that sweet in there, with oatmeal.
Just some Splenda or whatever they do for... Depending on your outlook, if you're feeling like it's better to save the calories, because there are two schools of thought on that too. There are some that say, no, you're better to go a little bit of sugar that's natural and not all the processed and chemical stuff. And then you have the other side that's saying, no, save your calories and go with diet sugar.
Because see, that, and that's what I'm thinking too with the honey. That's why I'm kind of thinking it probably
honey
goes under that category, I'm not sure. But I, honestly, I've never in my life used honey. I I don't know what you'd use it on, other than maybe adding it to like an oatmeal or like that recipe that you gave yesterday to add it to that as a sweet and sour. I think I'd really like to try that. And so
one of the chili recipes that I have that I'm going to make this weekend, and it's great because it has big chunks of meat in it and the beans and all that. And it's a nutritionally sound recipe. I don't even want to say low fat necessarily, but it's supposed to be helping you to eat lighter. But it calls for a little bit of honey, just a little bit, and some lime juice.
There you go.
In the chili. And it's fantastic. So honey for that. And then I think of every time I bring out the honey jar, which I got to say is not very often, I think of my dad. Because growing up, when we had sore throats, Dad would take those big tablespoons and or like a soup spoon. He'd load it up with honey and say, here, take a coat of honey. And it does. It coats the back of your throat.
Soothes your throat.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it doesn't last all that long. I mean, it really only probably helps you for 20 minutes or so. And then you're ready to down the rest of the honey. But that it always makes me think of him because that was his home remedy. And it worked pretty well.
Interesting. Before we go on break, I'm just going to leave you with one, maybe two, little facts about oatmeal. If you are an oatmeal lover, you are not alone. Oatmeal consumption is up and accounts for 9.9% of all breakfast.
Wow.
I mean, is that...
That's not super high.
I know. When I read that, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Not too
not sure that's
deal.
A bragging point.
But I guess when you think, well, we can round it off to 10%. So 10% of all...
Well, So out of 10 people, there's one person.
And this is another fact I'm just going to leave us with. Because it is high in fiber and low in fat, oatmeal helps with weight loss by curbing appetite.
Yeah.
And you know, it does. It makes you know, it fills your stomach and kind of gives you some substance. So.
Right.
So go and eat your steel-cut oat. And you know, and I believe steel-cut oats are better than the regular, the instant ones. You know, but and I like them, like you said. But a lot of people don't. I don't know why. If you like oatmeal, you like oatmeal.
Yeah, it pretty once you're finished preparing it, it pretty much boils down to the same texture.
That's what I think, too. So... All right. Well, you are listening to Food for Thought. We're live at the Beacon Building in downtown Manchester at 814 Elm Street. And coming up next, I'm very excited because we have some food sitting here on the counter here in our kitchen. We are going to be joined with Chef Patrick Hall. He is the director of the Culinary Arts Program at Lakes Region Community College. And he is, remember last week, a listener called in and was questioning sumac. So we are going to be tasting a sumac dish. So I'm quite excited to check that out. So stay tuned. Food for Thought will be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought. We are live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester. And you can give us a call at any time during the show. The number is 866-823-1077. And joining us, is Chef Patrick Hall. He is the director for the Culinary Arts Program at the Lakes Region Community College. I don't even have to look at my notes anymore.
It's so good.
Just rolls right off your tongue.
She memorized your name, my friend.
At Shaker Village, right?
Yeah.
You can also check them out on the web at lrcc.com.
Mm-hmm. Wow. .edu.
Wow.
Yep. Oh, .edu.
.edu, yep.
That's important.
Yep.
So it's lrcc.edu.
.edu,
I did get it wrong.
Yep.
Okay.
So.
And, so you sent me an email this week because one of the callers stumped you last week.
Stumped me, and it was eating at me. So I went and I did my research and my homework, and like I said last week, I said this is the best thing that I love about culinary. I was like, you know, there's so much so many things to learn, and so I did my research and researched a few places, and the spice that stumped me was sumac. And the first thing that popped in my head, I almost said to the caller, I said, hey, would you like it poison or non-poison? You know? And little did I know, sumac is a Middle Eastern spice. And it's a Middle Eastern spice. It's very much like paprika, but it's got a lemony flavor to it. And it is a cousin of the sumac that we would find here, which would be our unedible sumac.
Right, because when you think of sumac, I mean, I was thinking of sumac.
Poison ivy.
It's like poison ivy.
Like fat for some reason. Yeah. I don't know. You know, like Greek. I don't know why that's in my head.
Yeah,
like that.
And I was almost thinking it was more of a leafy, until I looked it up, and it's a little berries, and they grind them. So most spices, anyways, when you talk about spices, it's going to be some sort of bark, it's going to be some sort of berry, and then anything that we grind up, and then we season our food with it, and that's what this is. So the sumac is like paprika. It's ground up. It's a little bit this kind that I see right here is a little bit darker red. So it's kind of like paprika, but it's got a lemony flavor to it. Mm. So I made you some chicken, and what I did is I took some chicken breasts and I braised them. So I left the skin on because I like to get that nice and caramelized. And I did like a little peel-off style. So I braised it, and I deglazed a pan with my mirepoix and some wine, some basic chicken stock. I put a little bit of garlic to it, and all I used for spice was the sumac, so you can really taste it and come out. So I tried to keep it simple so we could just taste the sumac.
So we can taste the sumac.
Yeah. So you can taste the sumac.
So you're
going
to have to keep talking while we're tasting.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So you braised it. And then what I did is I simmered it a little bit with some rice. So I did it kind of peel-off style. And I finished it with butter, of course. You know, it's non-fat. You know, I've been eating for years, and I'm fine. So, you know, so it's a but it's got its own unique flavor. I put about a tablespoon of the sumac in there, and it was nice. I liked it. You know?
I think it's very, it's like refreshing. It's kind of subtle, but yet you can,
it doesn't overpower. Yeah, it doesn't overpower the food.
Yeah, it's not sharp lemon flavor like you would just squeeze lemon into it. Flavor. It's mild, you know, it's kind of just hits you in the back of the tongue a little bit.
It hits you after like.
Yeah. So.
What else would you use this with?
You know what? They reading up on it, they said use it with peel off. It goes well with chicken. I'm not so sure about that seafood, but, you know, I'm going to play around with it for a little bit and see, you know, different.
Some tilapia?
That could be, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, tilapia, that is nice. Maybe some swordfish.
Ooh.
You know, maybe make a butter out of it and melt it over garlic butter with some sumac, really? And then you know, put a little bit of wine and make like a hotel butter and melt it over fish.
Whoa!
Oh, yeah.
Wow!
See when he starts with his lingo. But first, I just want to say, you know, because listeners, you are probably hearing another voice here. The other voice here is June, and June is the one that called in and stumped Chef Patrick last week, and we were kind of trying to surprise him that it was June, our June, and not a caller, but they were in the green room together and they couldn't keep their mouths shut.
I tried really hard. I was trying to ignore them, but I couldn't.
Yeah. So, but that's great. You know, and like I said, it's one of those things that this is what I love about cooking is that you're always going to find something. You're always going to learn something. And then, you know, just, you know, your basic skills on how to cook. And you can prepare, you know, excellent dishes just by getting that whole combination of herbs and spices and flavors inside your, and you build up on things that you use. And you'll see every chef that has that. Some people will use different oils and different vinegars and different things. So, you know, you're just playing around with them, tasting them. You know, don't be afraid. I always tell students, don't be afraid to taste it. So what's the worst you're going to do? You know, put it out of your mouth.
Taste it and then add more later.
That's it. Slow. Right. You can always add more. It can never take away.
That's true.
You know,
now,
so.
Girls, I'm not sure if you are tasting what I'm tasting, but I mean, isn't the, you know, when a chef cooks for you, isn't this chicken like amazing?
It is the best chicken ever. I was thinking that too. I'm like, I don't know how much of that is actually the spice, and it's just anything that this man prepares is going to be amazing.
Well, it's moist.
I always tell students that too. It's about the technique. Mm-hmm. You know, you do a proper technique, like I did a braise with this, and you get the pan nice and hot, and you brown that skin, and you get that caramelization on the bottom of that pan, and then you add a basic, what's called mirepoix, which is pretty much French for onion, celery, and carrots, and then you deglaze the bottom of the pan with use a little wine and chicken stock, and you know, keep it simple. But at the same time, those things come. A lot of people try to overdo, you know, a lot of times cooking. But if you keep it simple and you keep it natural with you know, using your ingredients like the chicken and focusing on bringing enhancing the flavors of the chicken by using some of that spice, and just like you said, June, add a little bit at a time and taste it and keep it simple, and you'll find out that most of your dishes will come out. You know.
It's now, very good.
Let's go back to the searing for a second. Now, when you sear, I mean, I think the key to it, and I'm not sure, I mean, tell me, making sure that your pan is hot, right?
Yeah, very hot, screaming hot. Just a little bit, a small amount of oil in it. high heat. Okay, and the term for that is sauté. Small amount of heat, high heat, small amount of fat, and sauté literally means to jump. Doesn't mean jump in front of the pan, but you throw your ingredients inside the pan, and it's going to jump around. And how long,
like with chicken, like about how long do you think on each side?
I would say probably about 3 or 4 minutes. You know, get it nice and brown is tricks with braise because you want to get that caramelization for your sauce.
See, Daryl cooked for me again last night. I was supposed to cook, remember?
Yeah.
It was supposed to be me cooking, but I went to Fresh Market and got some chili and sea bass. Mm. And, of course, I have no idea how to cook that. And he did it so well the week before that I made him cook it. And he does that. He does the searing and, you know, and all that. And he did it last week with a chicken stir fry we did. And I'm not good like that. I mean, I'm an okay cook, but I don't.
You're a very good cook.
Well, but searing it, do you sear your chicken like that? You do?
Yeah.
See, I would never. Now I know how. Now that he explains it.
Mm-hmm. Especially I would de-glazing.
Experiment.
De-glazing, yeah. Get up all fancy terminology.
All the brown bits on the pan.
Yes.
That's always the best.
I had one recipe that, and I'm so glad it told me to do that. It's for an apple cream sauce, like chicken with apple cream sauce. And you had to do all this stuff with the herbs and then the chicken. And it said scrape your pan to get the brown bits. Mm. I'm like, what? I mean, I could understand what it was telling me to do. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, that comes out amazing. But when you do that, what type of pan? Is there a type of pan that you feel works better than the others?
Stainless steel, it works better.
Okay. Not necessarily a black cast iron.
Cast iron works well, too.
Yeah.
Stainless steel, a lot of times nonstick. You can always go well with it, so that works well, too. So, the problem with aluminum pans is sometimes you'll get the flavor from the aluminum will come off inside your food, so you got to be careful, so.
Okay. I just got a cast iron pan for Christmas, and I always hated them because it took forever to clean, and they didn't clean well. Well, this one, I have seasoned it, and it is amazing. I'm in love with it.
I love cooking with cast iron, and it's very easy to clean. You just put oil and use kosher salt, and you just wipe it out and leave it for next time. Yeah, and that oil just seasons it. You keep using it, and initially, when you get a cast iron pan, what you want to do is you want to get the oven on hot and bake it off for about an hour with a little bit of oil and salt, and then wipe it out, and you're good to go.
And that's how you season it.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, okay. Somebody else had also told me that when you have a cast iron pan like that you season, is it true you're not supposed to use soap when you're washing it?
Yeah, because what happens is if you put a cast iron pan in water and soap it, it rusts immediately. So, like, if you let it sit overnight, you're going to come back and you're going to see rust. But it's easy to remove that rust. I mean, a lot of people are like, oh, I got to get rid of this pan because it's all rusted. But if you just put oil to it and salt, it cleans it back up again, too. So
you just settled the family argument.
Yeah, and you can, and it's because it's just, I guess it's the metal itself, you know. I mean, the best conductor when you start talking about a pan for heat transfer is copper. But obviously, you can't cook with straight copper. Usually, copper pots are lined with stainless steel. So what you want to do is you got to get you can use that, and because the heat is great for and even for transfer. But the second best would be stainless steel, but it's expensive. Pots get expensive. In the restaurant industry, you notice we cook a lot with aluminum pans, with the saute pans, and because they're inexpensive for restaurants. It would be great, perfect world if we can all afford copper and everything. And I tell my students that all the time. But it's but price concerns in restaurants, and as you know, are big. So
yeah, they are.
So if someone was starting out and they wanted to get a nice set of cookware, what would you recommend?
I would recommend actually even better because it's kind of like the cast iron, that Le Creuset pans. I love it too, and I have a couple of them. And they're versatile because you can throw them in the oven, you can bake with them, but you can cook on top of the stove. And they're lined with enamel, but the inside of it is actually the cast iron.
But you know what the problem with those are? I have one, and I do my soup. It's like my soup pot. It's not a pot. It's more of like a pan like this.
Yeah.
You know, is that what I'm saying?
Yeah. We can all see that. Absolutely.
She's using her hands.
What is she talking about? But it's heavy.
Yes. Yeah, you have to have a pretty sturdy shelves to put them on.
They're heavy.
Store them. But yeah, it's They're heavy, but they're great to cook with.
They are.
And like you make great casseroles. Like this dish would be perfect if you started off and then finished it off in the oven with baking. Mm-hmm. And that rice just kind of absorbs all those flavors and different things. This dish right here would be good if I was thinking on the way down, putting different types of olives and things in there as well.
Would that make it a little Mediterranean.
Yeah, yeah, little capers and simmer right up and hit a home run.
Maybe even a little feta on it.
Oh, perfect.
Right?
Put it in a pita, wrap it up. There we go.
Oh.
We got a new special. You know?
There you go.
That's great.
So, yeah, so that's the next week we're going to do that. You know.
All right, you are listening to Food for Thought, and we are live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street, and we are in studio with Chef Patrick Hall, who is the director of the Culinary Arts Program at Lakes Region Community College. And we are going to be back, and we're going to now investigate the other beautiful stuff that he has here. And I believe it's your wife that runs the pastry program.
Yep,
so we have this box full of pastry. So stay tuned. Food for Thought will be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought, live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street. If you haven't had lunch yet, you can come on down to Midtown Cafe right at the Beacon Building, and you can come and watch the show. And give us a call anytime, 866-823-1077. We are in studio with Chef Patrick Hall, director of the Culinary Arts Program at the Lakes Region Community College. And, you know, we've been busy eating. And it's really, really good. Now let's talk about what your wife's position is there and what you brought.
My wife is a professor there, and she teaches the baking and pastry, along with another woman named LaShonda Allen. She has Ulala Cakes. LaShonda has Ulala Cakes up in Meredith, and my wife, she teaches for us in also Concord High School. Mm-hmm. She teaches the pastry programs, and but she's amazing. Her name is April Hall, and she has brought you guys today some blueberry thyme buckle. Which is kind of like a coffee cake.
It's amazing.
It's crazy.
Blueberry, and she made a blueberry red wine peppercorn patafouille.
I have to try that.
Yeah, the patafouille is like, it's like those little jellies that you get when you're a kid that are covered in sugar. Those like little fruit slices that were candy ones. But you can make them different. She made a blueberry, obviously, blueberry peppercorn. And then she brought vanilla bean creme anglaise and then thyme pepper shortbread cookies.
Oh, my goodness.
As well.
You know, would you ever think of putting pepper in your cookies?
No.
And it is so good.
And what they do, so this class before we came over here was...
Rocco, I'm only having one bite, I promise.
the class that we came over here was a hot and cold plated desserts class. So this is just basic.
It was
basic,
a what?
A hot and cold plated desserts class. So they'll serve this in different molds and in different shapes. And what they'll do is they have all their shortbreads, and they're going to plate it up. They'll draw like sauces on the plates. So when you come to the restaurant, that's what you're getting, and it's all plated up. And they make it an art piece.
Wow.
So she's very good at it.
Each piece is so unique. And as you said, Carol, the cookies, the shortbread cookies themselves, they are, because they're not that heavy, dry, overly sweet, overly rich shortbread cookie. You've got the taste of a shortbread cookie. It's light. And then you've got this unexpected, fresh little herb kind of taste that doesn't, you would think,
it's
how does that
subtle.
Go with a sweet? It
right.
is, but it just, it brings it right out and gives you that contrast.
And that's kind of the piece to this class is when they plate and they start learning is to build their flavors.
Mm.
And April does a great job teaching them. Like obviously. You said, she created this, you know, it's not something you're just, oh yeah, absolutely. We got, thyme buckle and, she created it. Yeah. And that's part of being a chef is to create that, that whole flavor compound, but build those flavors inside your repertoire. You
know, I'm not even going to attempt to name this again. What is this called?
Patafouille.
Yes. Now, listeners, I am holding this patafouille, and I mean, that's why I'm so amazed by bakers, really, because it is a scientific, I could not do this because I don't measure.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine what mine would look like? I mean, this is like, look at that.
I know.
I just took a bite. Oh my goodness. It's intense.
And it's not super sweet.
It's not overly sweet. No. It's, you get a full punch of the fruit.
It's, so it's different.
That is much better than those jelly things.
Yes. Oh,
when you said that, I don't like those jelly things. Yes.
I don't either.
It's but you know, it's funny because we talked before, you're either a pastry chef or you're a chef.
Yes.
And I have a joke with a friend of mine who April teaches with at Concord High School. His name's Bob McIntosh, and we call it the dark side. You know, so we're chefs, and
I am with you. Yeah, so. I don't like the dark side,
so, but I appreciate those who can do this.
Oh yeah, and you should see these plates; they're absolutely beautiful. You know that these students do a great job, and April does a great job. They just the whole class, and they have different components. They cook them, and at the end, they put them together and make a nice art piece.
Well, they obviously have great teachers.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know.
And you know, Patrick, let's remind listeners too, because there may be some listeners out there. You said, you know, they go from ages 18 on up to 70 years old.
Yeah.
If someone wants to get out and take a class, you know, you're retired and you're home and you want to learn something, where do they go to find that out?
They, you can go right on lrcc.edu, look at all of our courses. And like I said, it's even more important now, community college nowadays, because, you know, colleges get very expensive. So, you know, we're a fraction of the cost of any normal, you know, college. And it's for the public. It's for the community. And that's what we're here for, you know. So we do a lot of stuff either through scholarships and trying to find monies for our students. So we actually have a dinner coming up on March 20th. 7th. It's
my birthday.
Yeah, it's a chef to table event. So there's going to be five chefs that are going to be featured there. Myself, Chef Scott Jones from Concord Co-op, Alan Zick from the Common Man Restaurants, Chef Nicole Barrera from T-Bones and Cactus Jacks, and then Annie from Annie's Catering. So we're going to do like a whole chef to table. We're going to do a demo.
Chef's table right here.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Perfect.
So, yeah.
I have to go to that.
Yeah, and all the money's going to go. Everything's been donated. All the money's going to go to scholarships for the students.
Fantastic. So,
very nice.
You know, not just culinary students, all students, you know.
Right.
So it benefits them. So, you know, and that's the thing. You know, if young people can go to school today and walk out without any debt, I mean, that's
yes,
huge.
Yes, that's right. That is huge. Yes. You know, you hear of these kids that have these, you know, thousands of dollars of you know, student loans, and it's sad. It's too bad.
It is, but you know, like I said, it helps, you know, it helps the student, and you know, there's a lot of, you know, great students that just can't afford, you know, like my parents are blue collar workers. Yep. I made the jump to go to Johnson & Wales, and you know, made myself afford it, but I'm still paying college loans.
Right.
Yep.
20 years later, you know. Yep. So if they can walk out of here without having that.
And having that education.
Absolutely.
You know, that you're giving them is, I mean, it's a win-win.
Out of fui, you know?
Out of fui, I mean.
Who doesn't want any blueberry buckle, you know? Sumac.
So what would you name this dish that you made with the sumac?
That's a good question.
Chicken sumac with rice? No. It's actually.
That's what I would call it.
Genius right there.
The rice is actually just a peel-off style rice that I cooked. And it's just, you know, normally when I would do my peel, it's just plain rice, but I would toast up some orzo and put it in there as well. And simmer that.
Yep. I mean, toast up some orzo.
Well, you take orzo, put it on a
sheet pan. After you cook it.
No, before you cook it. And you put it on a sheet pan, and you put it in the oven till it turns brown. So if you ever see, like, you know, some of the orzo with the brown little bits in it, that's orzo. That's not rice. Or they sometimes vermicelli.
Yep.
You can do that with pasta. And what you'll do is it adds a little toast, you know, nuttiness to it.
Right.
And it goes well with the sumac and everything.
Yeah. I thought orzo was a pasta.
It is.
So you don't have to boil it after?
Oh, you do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you boil it after. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It'll be a little crunchy if you didn't do that. You know, so
first you toast it.
Yep. Yep.
Then you boil it like you normally would.
Yep. Yep. And then you build like a little stock. So a lot of times when I did this one, you know, you build your flavors. I use a lot of wine. Just me. I don't know. But
I'm
it's a little bit for me. And So but I use a lot of wine, but I'll incorporate that as part of my stock. So I'll use wine and then half wine, half chicken stock. Because when the wine boils down and all the alcohol comes out, it adds a nice little acidity to it. And it has a nice little, you know, some of that lemon that you taste is from the wine. I use Sauternes wine in this one. And you simmered it right down. The combination between the acidity and the chicken stock together, along with that sumac, is what you're tasting. And It's a very,
that's very good.
Wow, it's really
a little
really
garlic
good.
In there.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Gotta have the garlic.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, when it calls for 3 cloves, I put 20.
Yeah,
and she's well, I'm not exaggerating. Well, well, maybe just a little.
Just
bit.
A teen.
About, yeah, 5 or 6.
Maybe
cloves.
18.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, and that's like I said, the garlic. That's okay with the garlic because when you simmer it down, you cook it down, it mellows out. You know, so a lot of people think you know if you grabbed a whole bulb of garlic and chewed into it, yeah, then that's what's gonna bite you. But yeah.
Right.
If you cook
right.
it or roast it, it comes out.
Do you know Chef Evan Hennessy?
I don't.
Hmm.
Huh.
You need to meet him.
I do. I
you
love it.
You do.
Yeah.
He is the chef over at Stages in Dover. Have you heard of the restaurant Stages?
I have heard of Stages, yeah. But I've never
He's
met
the chef
him.
And he owns it.
Oh, good.
And we went on Saturday night. He actually was on the show Beat Bobby Flay.
Oh, yeah.
June
yes.
gave me that tip. And I went and we sat at, you sit, you make, it's reservations only. You sit at the kitchen table.
Oh, great.
And you like, I mean, he prepares, there's a 4-course meal and a 10-course meal that you choose from.
Wow.
And at the kitchen table. And then they'll do theme dinners other nights.
Wow.
So that night it was only kitchen table and it was a Saturday night and there's only 8 places at the kitchen table. It's like this high top. And I'll show you pictures after. It's, beautiful. Actually, this picture's on Food for Thought with Carol, too, for listeners out there that want to see the experience that we had on Saturday night. But very cool.
I'll have to go there because in the summertime, my in-laws have a house on York Beach in Maine. So, you know, we stay there all summer.
There.
That's a great,
yes.
great little tip. Yeah,
go check it out.
There's so many good restaurants in Portsmouth, Dover, and now, you know, and even Manchester here.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I love, and that's the other thing. I love supporting local restaurants, local chefs.
Definitely.
And that's great. You know, so absolutely.
Yeah. So what did you end up having at the stage?
You know, I don't have the. I wouldn't be able to explain or even probably pronounce what I had. But Jeannie, do you remember?
I remember. I mean, the one thing that really struck me was I think one of the first things you
turkey
described.
Egg.
The turkey egg. Yes,
that's the only thing that just popped in my head too.
Well, it's not patafouille, but you know.
Exactly.
Or buckles.
Sounds so much. Or what was that mirepoix? Like I need to know some of those terms so I can just be tossing those around in my kitchen and sound like I'm
I'll
doing
to,
something.
I'll have to bring one of our beginning books that we use, and they have all the basic terminology and. You know, everything from, you know, making slurries to whitewashes to roux.
That's a great idea.
That would actually be a great idea for listeners, you know, that are home. And, you know, we can kind of go over the basics, like you, like your mirepoix. You know, he says it like it's, you know.
We have this great text that's put out by Wiley Books, and it covers everything. The basics of sauce making to chicken fabrication to meat fabrication to, it has all sorts of recipes from peel off to it. It is a really, really good book. And I have extras. I'll bring one in. Leave here. Put it right into your repertoire.
You can sign it.
Absolutely.
There you go.
So, but it's and it's great. And that's the basis really of cooking is to learn your basic cooking terminologies.
So maybe next week, Chef Patrick Hall, you can come in and we can talk about the intro to cooking. You know, kind of like the basic steps of
absolutely.
It. And there you go. So listeners, stay tuned for next week. Patrick Hall will be back. And you're listening to Food for Thought. When we come back, Dad will be calling in. George Lawrence will be calling in with a recipe. He's been home sick a little bit, so he'll be calling in this week. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.